Ready, Shabbat Shalom. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we thank you and bless you for another wonderful week of life. We thank you for all the wonderful things you provide for us each and every week. And Father, as your Sabbath is coming, we thank you now that you're allowing us to enter into your rest another week. We thank you for what this day represents of your kingdom. And Father, as we look at a world out there in chaos and rebellion, we thank you so much for your kingdom that's coming very, very soon. We pray for all those who suffer in this world, especially those of the household of faith. We pray, Father, for that kingdom to this earth as is in heaven. And we thank you, Father, for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to this earth to suffer and pay the penalty of our sins. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, today we are going to go over lesson 14. In the correspondence course, which is Yahweh's judicial order. As you talk about judicial order, and I've talked about it a lot, I've done courses on it, did a lot of things with judicial order. Of course, people in the world don't understand it. I think for people in the congregation, and I feel this way, many people have told me this, that they believe it's the most important doctrine because everything comes from it. Without Yahweh's judicial order, nothing will be rightly patterned after that. But yet what we're seeing in the last few months, in Babylon particularly, but also in other places in the world, UK and other places, all of the chaos, the riots, the anarchy, the attacks on police. If anybody in the world today can't see why we need judicial order, then their mind must be shot. You know, because we clearly can see. I mean, I would have never thought in my lifetime that I would hear people talking about dismantling police and, just letting people go wild and riot and loot and murder and everything else. So it's one of the most important subjects in Scripture, if not the most important subject. It's very misunderstood. But basically, judicial order is defined as the order to every facet of our life, which was preordained by Yahweh to be correct at creation. So when you're looking at the creation account, and I believe this is one of the paradigms why, atheists, scientists, whoever, that don't believe in the creation account is when they don't understand how different things were at creation. Everything was different. The world was different. The atmosphere was different. You name it. Every single thing you could think of was different at creation because it was a perfect world. It was not only a world without sin. It was a world without sickness. It was a world without death. It was a world without freezing weather. There was nothing that was uncomfortable in that world in Eden. So let's look at Creation Week as we start to talk about Yahweh's judicial order and see this, that judicial order is not dictatorship. It's not man's rule over other man. But judicial order is simply defined as the order to every facet of our life, which was preordained by Yahweh to be correct to creation. Yahweh has a order to the family. He has an order to creation. He has an order to time. He has an order to worship. He has an order to everything. And the Bible, we're going over the series now on the word of Yahweh. And the Bible is, the manual. It's the manual for human beings on how to follow Yahweh's judicial order. So in Genesis 1, verse 4, and Elohim saw the light that it was good, and Elohim separated between the light and the darkness, and Elohim called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and there was evening, and there was morning, day one. Drop down to verse 11, and Elohim said, let the earth sprout tender sprouts, the herb seeding seed, the fruit trees producing fruit according to its kind, whichever seed is in it on the earth, and it was so. And the earth bore tender sprouts, the herb seeding seed according to its kind, and the fruit tree producing fruit according to its kind, whichever seed is in it. And Elohim saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, day three. Verse 16. No, he made two great light sources, the great light to rule the day and the small light and the stars to rule the night. And there was evening and there was morning, day four. Verse 22, and Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. So when we're looking at the creation account, and we could probably make hundreds of volumes of encyclopedias just on the first chapter of Genesis, but just looking at the creation account, you clearly see Yahweh's judicial order at work. Each piece of the creation account needed the thing that was created the next day to survive. On day three, Yahweh created plants bearing fruit and seeds. And on day four, he created the sun, the moon, the stars, and the pattern of the sun and the moon cycle, which plants need for photosynthesis, which is absorbing the carbon dioxide and releasing oxygen for the plant to survive and grow. In order to grow and survive. Then on day five and six, he created the fauna, the insects, the birds, and the animals to cross-pollinate these plants. And then the human beings that would need the food from the plants to survive come on day six. Therefore, everything was done in judicial order, and indeed the Genesis account is chronological, precise, and accurate. And then verse 31 of Genesis 1, and Elohim saw that he had made everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So everything was good. There was nothing that was bad. Everything had a purpose to it. And I heard Dr. Bao one time talking about even mosquitoes, because people say, well, who would want to garden Eden with a bunch of mosquitoes biting you? And he made the point that mosquitoes only bite you when there's a lack of oxygen, that they need oxygen. And in the Garden of Eden, because the canopy of water is above the earth and the canopy of water below the earth, and that the earth was like a greenhouse and the oxygen level was more because of that, that mosquitoes would have never bitten human beings. They wouldn't have needed to do that, which is interesting. So everything in the Garden of Eden was perfect and fully within Yahweh's judicial order. It was only when Adam and Eve decided that they were going to change the judicial order of Yahweh and live according to self-rule instead of the perfect judicial order of Yahweh that sin and death entered. And here we are. You know, like I say many times, how many parts is the Bible broken down into? And most people say two, which is right, but they say the Old Testament, New Testament. It's like, no, it's broken down in two parts, Genesis 1 and 2, and the rest of the Bible. Because Genesis 1 and 2 is a perfect world. It's a world without sin. It's a perfect environment, right? Because Eden is a place, but it's also a mentality, and it's an environment. And once Adam and Eve decided that Eden was not perfect, that Yahweh, they did not believe in faith, that Yahweh created everything in the perfect form, but they believed the lies of the serpent, that Yahweh was somehow trying to hold back good things for them and didn't want them to have the proper knowledge. And they decided for themselves what was good and what was evil. And I think a lot of people miss that with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free choice to choose, for humans to choose for themselves what is good and what is evil. So now let's look at some other things of Yahweh's judicial order and see that there is judicial order and absolutely everything in our life. There's judicial order to the clothes we wear, the food we eat. Like I said, how our families are run, how we work, to time, to everything, there's judicial order. So let's start with judicial order to worship. Because there's people that just think as long as your heart is right, it doesn't matter to Yahweh how you worship him. And believe it or not, well, you probably believe it because you see it out there. In the world we live in today, you'll have the Pope saying that there's more than one way to salvation, right? That all religions bring you to salvation, whether it's Islam, whether it's Hinduism, whether it's paganism, right? Whether it's Christianity. And yet none of those religions have repentance of sin and getting those sins paid for. None of them. Only in the Bible do you see this. Do you see the fact of having to repent of your former way of life, turning from that way of life, and having those sins not just forgiven, but paid for? So, of course, there's a way to worship Yahweh. He wouldn't leave something that important just up for grabs, that you could do it any way you want to do it. Because if you look in ancient paganism, they worshiped their deities in all kinds of foul, evil ways. And that's why, even in the New Testament, in Acts 15 and other places, where the Apostle Paul had to make mandates from some of these pagans that were becoming believers on what they would have to do in order to come into the congregation of Yahweh at that time. So Deuteronomy 12 and verse 28 says, "Take heed to listen to all these words which I am commanding you, in order that it may be well with you and with your sons after you forever, when you do that which is good and right in the eyes of Yahweh your Elohim. When Yahweh your Elohim shall cut off the nations from before you, where you are going to possess them, and you shall possess them and shall live in their land, take heed to yourself, that you not be snared to follow them after they have been destroyed before you, and that you not inquire after their gods, their false gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their Elohim? I will do the same, even I, toward Yahweh.' You shall not do to Yahweh your Elohim, for everything hateful to Yahweh which he detests, they have done to their gods, for they have even burned their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods." Human sacrifice, child sacrifice. "All the things that I command you, take heed to do them, and you shall not add to it nor take away from it." So no, absolutely not. People who say that say you could worship Elohim any way you want, are people that never have read scripture before. So here it is. He's the creator of everything. He's eternal. He has no beginning, no end. He breathed and human beings became alive. He spoke and the universe was created. And some piece of dust that Yahweh made that never will even read the Bible, that Yahweh wrote with his own hand, are going to say how and what is acceptable to worship Yahweh and what's not? Sorry, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And nobody has to be deceived because we have the scripture. We have it there. So people can just read it and believe it, but that's the point. People want to have all their own ways. Well, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe everything in the Bible. Well, I believe there's Elohim, but I can't believe that he wrote all these things. I believe part of the Bible, but I don't believe that. Well, Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, people want to choose for themselves. And that is not judicial order. Judicial order is simply believing and following the way that Yahweh set it out at creation, because his ways are perfect. And that's the point. Mankind, his own pride, doesn't want to believe that. So it's very, very clear here. Don't inquire how these people did it. Sunday worship is Baal worship. Christmas and Ishtar, they're all pagan. All comes from paganism. And these things are not acceptable to our Heavenly Father. Most religions today have a man-made ceremonial worship system to their Elohim that is not from Scripture. It's extremely clear. And this is where the problem comes, because people want to say, well, Yahweh knows my heart, Elohim knows my heart, and that's the problem, that the heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Incurable, who can know it? So people are going by their heart, and their heart is based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, them choosing what is good and what is evil. Mark 7 and verse 6, because people say with Yeshua, well, Yeshua, he came and he just has love and he just accepts any worship. Come to me the way you are. Nope, that's not the way he says it. But Mark 7 and verse 6 says, "And answering, he, Yeshua, said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it has been written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For forsaking the commandment of Yahweh, you hold the tradition of men.'" And then he goes into the things they're doing. So, very, very clear. They turn aside the commandments of Yahweh for the tradition of men. Sunday, Christmas, Ishtar, Sunday, they're all traditions of men, but they're not from Yahweh. So does Yahweh tell us within his judicial order on what days we are to worship him? Of course, Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy gatherings, shall be these. These are my appointed feasts. Work is to be done 6 days, and on the seventh day shall be a Sabbath of rest, a holy gathering. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwelling.'" Very clearly, right? It's not Sunday. It's the seventh day, which in our calendar today, it's a Roman calendar, but the calendar that most people use, the day they call Saturday, which actually is Sabbath. If you look at creation week, you have day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, Yom Shishi, day six, and then HaShabbat, the Sabbath day. Very, very clearly. How do we know that it corresponds to Saturday? Because time hasn't been lost. Because the Jews have kept records for thousands of years. And even in many cultures, like in Italy and in Spain, where they speak Spanish or Italian, what is the word for Saturday? Sabado, which comes from Sabbath. So, of course, it hasn't been lost. And, of course, Saturday is the seventh day. Yahweh being completely perfect, and the only true Elohim of the universe, could never allow the false pagan worship to be directed toward him and accepted. Even if the worshiper had no idea that the things he was doing was pagan, it would be going against his judicial order of worship. So here it is. Yahweh may give less accountability to the person who doesn't know he's doing it wrong, but worshiping in paganism will stunt your relationship. Your relationship is going to be stunted. You will not have the kind of relationship you can have with the Creator if you're trying to have that relationship through falsehood and through paganism. It's that simple. Remember, Yahweh does not want us to worship him because he is prideful, but because when we worship him for the true great being that he is, and we lower our own self-worth to the position that it should be, then we are in the right frame of mind to truly be a humble servant to Yahweh and others. So it's that simple. It's not that he has pride, he's elevated himself. No, it's just the way it is. He is that way. He is that great. And we aren't. In ancient Israel, were you able to bring your sacrifices anywhere and do your sacrifices anywhere? Or was there judicial order to the sacrificial system? Of course there was. Deuteronomy 12, starting in verse 4. You shall not do so to Yahweh your Elohim. But you shall seek to the place with Yahweh your Elohim will choose out of all your tribes, Jerusalem. For you shall seek his dwelling to put his name there, and you shall go there. And you shall bring your burnt offering there, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and your heave offering of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offering, and the firstling of your herd and your flock. And you shall eat there before Yahweh your Elohim, and shall rejoice in all that you put your hand to do, and your households in which Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you. You shall not do, verse 8, you shall not do according to all that we are doing here today, each doing all that is right in his own eyes. So very clearly, Yahweh set out, right, the Garden of Eden, which was in Jerusalem. And when Israel becomes a nation and they come into the promised land, Yahweh sets out that the sacrificial system is there, and the priesthood is there from Jerusalem, and that's where you would bring your appointed sacrifices to. So you couldn't, the same with the feasts, Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in the year you shall bring all your males and appear before Yahweh your Elohim, and the place which ye shall choose, which was Jerusalem, and the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. So your offering, your tithes, you would bring up to Yahweh at the place that he chose in Jerusalem. Clearly we see that Yahweh even set judicial order in the very place, Jerusalem, that was supposed to come and worship him. He also outlined in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, exactly how his covenant people were to worship and serve him. It's also clearly stated that it was not acceptable before Yahweh for one to worship his own way outside of Yahweh's judicial order. We just read that in Deuteronomy 12:8. You shall not do according to all that we are doing here today, each doing all that is right in his own eyes. So also, was there a judicial order to the priesthood, right? So there's a priesthood that's there, and the priesthood is going to be the one that's going to serve Yahweh. They're going to do the sacrifices. The priests are going to do the teaching of the Torah. Was it something like today, like if you look like in Catholicism, if you want to be a priest, you basically, you know, if you have a heart to be a priest, you go to seminary school, and then, you know, you're going to, whoever they take you there, you're going to spend so many years and you become a priest. Anybody can. You don't have to have a certain name. You don't have to come from a certain tribe. Anybody wants to be a priest. If you're in Catholicism, You could just become a priest. Is that the way Yahweh has it? No. He has judicial order. He set out the tribe of Levi. He set out the tribe of Levi. And actually, the high priests and the ones who did the most important duties were only from the tribe of Aaron, the sons of Aaron. The other Levites were doing the helpers to the sons of Aaron. But Deuteronomy 21:5, and the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for Yahweh your Elohim has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of Yahweh. And by their mouth shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. So, you know, you look in the world today, this would be considered racism, right? You know, when you have like a, that there's a job that a man can do but a woman can't do, or there's a job that only a certain tribe can do. Can you imagine if there was a job that you said only Italians can do this job, or only Chinese people can do this job, or whatever it is? They would say that's racist. That's racist. That's a racist comment. So when we're looking in Scripture here, we're saying no, it's not racist. There's times where it's judicial order. There's times where one person, or one, in this case, a tribe, was selected to do a certain job by Yahweh and not another tribe. And why do we have to do that, right? Why is it that people want to have to do jobs that they were never commissioned to do? Why is it that people have to take positions that they were never given? And this is why the world is in chaos today, you know? And as I'm watching the news, and I knew that President Trump is the president of Babylon. And, you know, you see in the news some of the congressmen that have been there for years. People like Nancy Pelosi, seems like she's been there for, a millennium. So you know some of these basic names of some of the people. But I don't know the names of the mayors and the district attorneys in these towns. But while as Babylon is falling and Babylon is burning and these people are coming to light, the mayors of these cities, what you're finding is not only are they incompetent and they shouldn't even be there, a lot of them are women. You know, not to say women are incompetent in general, but in this case, they should not be the leaders of the cities. And if they follow the judicial order, you know, they might not have the same problems that they're having there. But they're certainly, and I don't think if they were a man, they'd be doing any better in these liberal cities. But wow, I don't know how people could put up with that. Just allowing people to come and rob and murder and they don't even arrest them. They don't do anything from it. But like I said, if you can't look at the world today and see why we need judicial order, then you might as well put a bag on your head, because that's what you're doing anyway. Leviticus 16 and verse 1, and Yahweh spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron as they drew near before Yahweh and they died. And Yahweh said to Moses, speak to your brother Aaron, and he shall not come in at all times to the sanctuary within the veil to the front of the mercy seat. With this Aaron shall come into the sanctuary with a bull, a son of a herd, for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on a holy linen coat, and linen underpants shall be on his flesh, and he shall gird himself with a linen girdle, and he shall wrap himself in a linen mitre. They are holy garments, and he shall bathe his flesh with water, and he shall put them on. And again today, beside them calling Yahweh probably a racist for just picking the tribe of Levi, now they're going to call him, the animal activists are going to be out there, and they're going to be fighting him and fighting, you're going to kill an animal, and they're going to be going crazy and, you know, probably pouring paint and all the other stuff that they did. So it's absolutely absurd that when people get away from Yahweh's judicial order and they start deciding what is good is what is evil, because these same evil, wicked demons, right, that will kill you over an animal are the same ones that would kill you over the right for a woman to kill her own fetus. Same ones, right? So they'll save the animal life, but come to a human baby? Yeah, they don't want that. So this is why, like I said, human beings, they have no sense whatsoever of what is good and what is evil. And they want to deny the Bible. They want to call it hate speech. They want to say it's not true. They want to even say Yahweh doesn't exist. And like I said, you know what? The person who says that in a few short years is going to be laying in a wooden box somewhere in the dirt where they came from, and Yahweh lives forever. So I'll believe the one that lived forever, and the one that is made out of dirt, that's going back to the dirt, you know, they're going to fall in their own folly. Like the Psalm says, the fool has said in his own heart, There is no Elohim. So this is where you get it. This is where we see it, right? Once again, we clearly see there was judicial order to the priesthood and service to Yahweh. Yahweh chose Levi after the golden calf incident to represent all 12 tribes in the sanctuary to worship him. It would have been death if a member from the tribe of Simeon or Gad or any other tribe even tried to so much as enter the sanctuary. Yahweh's judicial order was that only the tribe of Levi was to be priest to Yahweh in the sanctuary worship. So you can't come there and say, hey, Gad is just as good as Levi. What do you mean? I can be a priest? And, you know, they tried it. You know, we see what happened when the tribes split and the northern tribes went with Jeroboam, you know, Ephraimite in the north, and he put people there that were priests from the lowest and the base people. And we see how long that lasted and how well that went. We're living in times that the Bible calls the last days. This is called in Scripture the most evil time that man will ever know. And like I said, to us, I think sometimes we don't realize how evil it is because it's all we've known. But if you lived in any other time, you know, if you lived in 1863, when there's a little house on the prairie and people had respect and they took their hat off when a woman came and women would dress modest and people cared for their neighbors. And then you all of a sudden went to sleep and woke up here in 2020. You know, your hair would probably be standing straight up. You would think, what on earth is this? You would think you died and went to hell. I mean, it really, the world we live in today, it's a bad place. And the Bible says it. It's the worst time the world will ever know and ever will know. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemies, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of Elohim. Wow. And, you know, you go on here, always say, you know, there's 16 or 18 things that are listed there, and after about 7 or 8, you're like, okay, enough. But today, it's like, no, you got to add more. We don't even have enough to describe the evil world that we see out there today. And everyone fits. There's not one that you could say doesn't fit our society today. Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Each man did that was right in his own eyes. Here we are. In those days, there's no king in Israel. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. That's the Laodicean era. That's the era we're living in, right? Ruled by the people. And what does the Laodicean say? He, not only is he anarchist against his government and an anarchist against the president of the whatever nation he's coming from, an anarchist against his parliament, but he's also anarchist against elders and leaders and any form of congregational government that's out there. Because the Laodicean doesn't need anybody. He could do it all himself. People are lukewarm and don't have their whole heart into the work of Yahweh. The word Laodicean means ruled by the people. You will notice that most third world countries totally understand the idea of judicial order and proper leadership in the body, as without it, you will always have chaos. And it's interesting now in the situation we've been living in the last 6 months with COVID-19, that in Babylon, you know, when they never actually locked down. You were never locked in your house. You were never not allowed to go out. They basically just closed down entertainment places and restaurants. And even restaurants, you could take out food and delivery. You just couldn't sit in a restaurant. That was basically all that was closed, you know. But, you know, and still, after a month of that, people started going wild. And I don't think a lot of people realize that in most of Africa, many parts of Asia, many parts of Central and South America today, it's totally locked down still. You know, that many of our brethren, I get reports all the time on this, that they cannot even leave their town. And this is going on now for 4 or 5 months, in some cases longer. And yet they're not complaining. They're happy. You know why? A lot of them are living in community. And they're just so thankful that we set these communities up and they have food. They have everything they need. They don't want to leave. So we see the difference here. We see the difference of Western society that is rebellious compared to third world society that may have other problems, but most of the time not in judicial order. It is mostly in the Western society with the false concept of freedom and democracy that you will see these self-willed people who want no form of judicial order or headship in their lives. Many will also deceive themselves that they are some kind of special person or prophet. We've met so many in Israel over the years. One guy walking around with a blanket, one guy with a little bag that says Jesus is Lord, you know, and they grow these beards and they want to walk around and claim that they're some kind of prophet and that they don't need any judicial order. It's them and Yahweh, but we don't see that from Scripture. These type of people will merely cause division and need to be avoided. It's not worth your time. How about even in the making of the sanctuary? You know, did Yahweh just basically tell Moses, you know what, yeah, go out there and just do this, build it this way, or with Solomon building the sanctuary of Yahweh, we have the tabernacle in the wilderness and Solomon. Did Yahweh just say, yeah, go and do it? No, of course not. Look at Hebrews 8:5. Hebrews the 8th chapter and verse 5. Who served the pattern and shadow of heavenly things, even as Moses was divinely warned, not told, but warned, divinely warned, being about to make the tabernacle, for he says, see that you make all things according to the pattern being shown to you in the mount. Right? To the inch. To the cubic. To the inch in the cubic. You make it according to the way I'm telling you. He didn't just go out and say, go and do this. But he told them, you do it according to the pattern that I'm showing you. Why? Because it's a pattern of what's up in heaven. And that's all the book of Genesis, the creation account is. It's Yahweh's pattern for mankind. Clearly we see that there was judicial order to the making of the sanctuary. Not only was Moses, who was a master builder from Egypt, told exactly how to make the sanctuary down to the last cubit, but the scripture says he was divinely warned about it. How about leadership? Leadership. In scripture, is it just like, hey, whoever wants to be a leader, let him come out. Let him declare his candidacy and put a good campaign there. And then everybody votes. And then whoever the people want and they vote for, that's who it's going to be. Do we see that ever, even once? No. You don't see it in the Tanakh with the kingship of Israel. And we certainly don't see it in the Brit Hadashah. Yeshua chose the people out the same way that the people that he chose, you know, were divinely inspired and laid hands on others, that Yahweh chooses his ministry. It's not just somebody goes to a school or goes to a program and all of a sudden they're saying they're going to be a minister. 1 Samuel 9 and verse 27. 1 Samuel 9 and verse 27. They were going down into the edge of the city, and Samuel said to Saul, say to the young man that he should pass on before us and cross over, and you stand still at this time, and I will cause you to hear the word of Elohim. And then chapter 10 and verse 1, and Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because Yahweh has anointed you for a leader over his inheritance? So Saul didn't choose himself, and at the time he was chosen, he was humble. You know, because Benjamin was the least of the tribes. David, the same thing. We see here, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. And Yahweh said to Samuel, until when will you mourn for Saul? For I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have seen a king for me among his sons. Verse 7. And Yahweh said to Samuel, do not look on the appearance nor to the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For man does not see what he sees, what Yahweh sees. For man looks for the eyes, but Yahweh looks for the heart. Verse 12. And he sent and brought him in, talking about David. And he was ruddy, he had red hair, and was beautiful eyes and in good form. And Yahweh said, rise up, anoint him, for this is he. Verse 13. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the spirit of Yahweh came upon David from that day and onward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So Samuel was set apart right from the womb. He was from birth, right, that he was set apart to be prophet and priest to Yahweh, and Yahweh tells him who to ordain there. Within the realm of Yahweh's judicial order, there is no concept of democracy, or like I like to say, demonocracy. Demonocracy, which is ruled by the people, not by Elohim, will always fail as most people in almost every age do not follow the Torah of Yahweh, nor have his spirit to make proper judgment for rulings. This was the crux of the sin in the Garden of Eden. People making their own choices apart from Elohim and his Torah. Instead of 100 faith in Yahweh, whether we understand it or not, that's what we have to do. Like I said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is to choose for oneself what is good and what is evil. Also, when we look at ordination, right, there's a process to it. When you ordain somebody, you lay hands on somebody, you pour oil on them. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And the sons of Israel listened to him and did as Yahweh has commanded Moses. So we see Samuel pouring oil and praying over David and over Saul. We see Moses laying hands on Joshua the son of Nun. And even in the New Testament, Acts 6, in verse 1, in those days the disciples having multiplied, a murmuring of the Hellenists toward the Hebrews occurred, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. Verse 3, examine therefore, my brothers, and pick 7 men among you that have a good witness and who are full of the spirit of Yahweh and wisdom, and we will set them over this issue. Verse 5, and the saying was pleasing before the multitude, and they chose out Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. 6, each of whom they made stand before the apostles, and having prayed, they laid their hands on them. They laid their hands on them. Acts 13 and verse 2. And while they were doing service to Elohim and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, so then separate both Barnabas and Shaul, the apostle Paul, to me for the work which I have called them. Then having fasted and praised and placed hands on them, they let them go. Titus 1:4, to Titus, a true son according to your common faith, grace, mercy, peace from Yahweh the Father and our Master Yeshua Messiah, our Savior. Verse 5, for this cause I left you in Crete, that you might set in order the things lacking and ordain elders in every city as I ordered you. So elderhood is not something you choose. It's not something you go to a school for. It's something that Yahweh chooses you for. 1 Timothy 4:4, look what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, do not neglect the gifting you, which was given to you through prophecy with laying on the hands of the elderhood. So Timothy was a young elder, you know, but he had the laying on of hands from that. And it wasn't just somebody, there was qualifications. 1 Timothy 3, we see very, very strict qualifications. 1 Timothy 3:2. He who becomes an elder must be blameless, husband of one wife, can't be divorced and remarried, alert mentally, sensible of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard or one whose hand is quick to strike, but humble, not contentious, not loving money, ruling his own house well, having children in subjection with all purity. But if anyone does not know how to rule his own house, how will he care for a congregation of Elohim? So it's very, very clear. He should not be a new disciple, lest being puffed up, he may fall into the condemnation of the devil. So again, some people think when they're being laid hands on at baptism for the giving of the Holy Spirit, that they're being ordained at that point, which is ridiculous, because it says right here, he can't be a new convert. And it also says that he can't be divorced or remarried. That would mean anyone divorced and remarried couldn't even come into the covenant. Of course, that's absolutely absurd to think that when somebody is being baptized and having hands laid on for the receiving of the Holy Spirit, that somehow they're being ordained as an elder when they're just joining the new covenant. Absolutely wrong. It is very clear from Scripture that there is judicial order to the elderhood in the body of Messiah. Someone must be living and adhere to a very strict code of conduct in his life to be considered an elder in Yahweh's congregation. In addition, and most important, this is not a position that one chooses for himself, but it is one that Yahweh chooses for him by inspiration through the judicial order of the elderhood in his congregation. Then the elders would lay hands on the new elder and anoint with oil for his new given position. Elders are not ordained to be served, but to serve. Matthew 20 and 25 and 26. He who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. Ordination should never be done through nepotism. 1 Timothy 5, 21-22, you don't ordain your son, your brother-in-law, you know, your brother, whatever. It's the people that are qualified that Yahweh chooses. But should merely be an outward expression of a job that someone is already performing. So we're not ordaining someone thinking, you know, he's a pretty good guy. Let's hope he fulfills this. It's something where somebody is already fulfilling that position and you're actually just recognizing that he's doing it. Moreover, it is clear from Yahweh's judicial order in the family structure that only men should be ordained elders and not women in the congregation. If we go to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 11. This you see in a lot of countries, say particularly in Babylon, you see many, many, many women pastors, and it's very clear. I don't know how they get around it, but this is again why we need to follow Yahweh's judicial order. First book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Let a woman learn in silence in all subjection. I do not allow a woman to debate publicly, nor to usurp the authority of a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived has come to be in the transgression. So it's very, very clear that the woman is not the teacher, the woman is not the elder, the woman is in subjection. Because in Yahweh's family structure, what happens in the family structure, the man is over the woman as Messiah is over the congregation. So in that family structure, how on earth can the man be over the woman in the family and then the congregation, the woman is going to be over the congregation? It would be a contradiction to Yahweh's judicial order. Genesis 3:16. Yahweh said to the woman, I will greatly increase your sorrow and your conception. You shall bear sons in sorrow and your desire shall be toward your husband and he will rule over you. It's just the way it is. That's the family structure. And actually, in the first covenant, women were actually a possession of the head of the family of the husband. At least in the new covenant, there is equality. The woman is not the possession anymore of the husband. The woman is the possession of Yeshua, the same way the husband is the possession of Yeshua. So all of us are his possession. And there is an equality. There is no more male or female, Jew or Greek. So there's not a class structure the way it was in ancient times. But at the same rate, there's still judicial order. There's still judicial order that the woman is not to take the role of leadership within the congregation. Is there judicial order to baptism? I hear people saying they baptize themselves. They baptize each other. Two people go one, two, three. They both go down at the same time. You know, I mean, all these different, you know, really exotic tricks that people try to do. But is in Scripture, is there actually a judicial order to baptism? Of course there is. Acts 19 and verse 1. And it happened in the time Apollos was in Corinth. Paul was passing through the higher parts to come to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He said to them, believing, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said to him, we did not even hear whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, to what will you baptize? And they said, to the baptism of John. And Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe into the one coming after him, that is into the Messiah Yeshua. And hearing, they were baptized into the name of our Master Yeshua. And Paul laying hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in different languages and prophesied. So it's very clear that baptism is not just something that somebody does and just goes down and jumps in the water and does it himself. That it is, it's the elder that has the authority to do. Now, the person is going in the water because that's his commitment to Yahweh, that he's dying to the old self and he's coming up and he's going to be a change of life. But if he wants to receive the Holy Spirit, only an ordained elder of Yahweh can lay hands on them. Let's look in Acts 8 and verse 12. Acts 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news and the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh in the name of Yeshua Messiah, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon Magus himself also believed, and being baptized was continuing steadfastly with Philip. And seeing miracles and mighty works happening, he was amazed. And the apostles in Jerusalem, hearing that Samaria has received the word of Yahweh, They sent Simon, Peter, and John to them, who going down prayed concerning them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. For it was not upon any of them yet. They were only being baptized in the water in the name of the Master Yeshua. Then, when the elders laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. But when Simon Magus saw the Holy Spirit is given through the laying on the hands of the apostles, he offered them money, saying, "Give to me this authority, that to whomever I may lay in the hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." And the apostle Peter says to him, "May your silver be with you unto destruction, because you thought to obtain the gift of Yahweh through money." So this is very telling. Not only does it tell us that you have to have an elder if you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, but it's very clear that Simon Magus was trying to give them money to get the authority to do this, because he saw there's an authority. Not anyone can just lay hands on somebody. There's an authority there. Now, you look at Simon Magus. He's a sorcerer. He's a deceiver. Why would he even do that? Why wouldn't he just go out and start baptizing people? People do it today, right? You see people all over the place. They say, "You don't need an elder," and they're baptized. Because Simon Magus knew there was no power to that. He knew nothing would happen. He saw the power that was going on through Yahweh. And he wanted this real power to transfer Yahweh's spirit. And he thought he could do it with money. But he knew that there's an authority there. So when people, unfortunately, when they get baptized at 7 years old as a Pentecostal, or somebody else is coming and baptizing them that who's never been ordained and doesn't have the authority, they're not receiving the spirit of Yahweh. Only the elders that have been ordained by Yeshua have the authority from Yahweh's judicial order to baptize and lay the hands on a new member for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And like I said, if it wasn't the case, Simon Magus would not have insisted to buy the authority, as many do today. You see all these people out there supposedly calling themselves ministers and all this stuff, pastor, apostle, all they take everything possible, and all selling, writing books and DVDs and selling everything. This point is very important because some brethren out of ignorance have baptized new believers when there was no ordained elder around, thinking they were doing Yahweh a service since an elder was not present. All this does is create confusion later for the new convert, who will be in doubt whether he or she had ever received the Holy Spirit since a non-elder laid hands on them. We have qualified ordained elders all over the world, and if someone needs baptism to join the new covenant, there's been times I've done it myself, traveled more than 1,000 miles or more to do this. Remember, the elder is simply a tool of Yahweh to administer his judicial order and to lay the hands on for the giving of the Spirit to the new convert. But it is Yahweh who is transferring the Spirit, not the elder. The elder has no power. It's just it's because of Yahweh's judicial order that he chose it that way. He didn't have to, but that's the way he chose it. So, what happens when people say, if someone steps out of Yahweh's judicial order, and they don't know, like I said, maybe somebody was out there baptizing people because he had no idea he wasn't able to. Would Yahweh give that person that is being baptized without an elder the Holy Spirit? Of course not. He'd have to break his own judicial order. It would make no sense. So even if somebody is doing something out of a proper motive, if it's going against Yahweh's judicial order, Yahweh is not going to support that. Let's look right here in Samuel, 1 Samuel 13, in verse 5. And the Philistines gathered to fight with Israel in 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and peoples of sand of the sea, which is on the lip of the sea for multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash out of Beth Aven. And the men of Israel saw that they were distressing them, for the people were distressed. And the people hid themselves in caves and crevices and in crags and in tombs and cisterns. And the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And Saul was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he waited 7 days according to the set time with Samuel. But Samuel had not come to Gilgal, and the people was scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring me near the burnt offering and the peace offering." And he offered it up, the burnt offering. And it happened as soon as he finished the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and to bless him. So here it is. Saul wasn't trying to do anything wrong. He sees they're losing. He sees that Samuel didn't come. He doesn't know what happened. And he's thinking, we have to do this sacrifice to Yahweh. So even though he thought he was doing it from the proper motive, what's the end result? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and you did not come to the day set out, and the Philistines were gathering at Michmash. Then I said, now the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not sweetened the face of Yahweh. And I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly, that you have not kept the command of Yahweh. You did not keep his judicial order of Yahweh your Elohim, which he commanded you. For now, Yahweh would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not stand. Yahweh has sought out for himself a man according to his own heart, and Yahweh has appointed him as leader over his people, for you have not kept that which Yahweh has commanded you. And this is why Exodus 14 says, when Yahweh is parting the Red Sea, you know, that you stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, and you be still. Because there's a point where Yahweh doesn't change. Malachi 3:6. He's the same always. His character never changes, right? So the point of it is, he doesn't need us to do something. He doesn't need us to change his judicial order to fix something that we think we're doing, that he made a mistake. And you know what? In this case, if Samuel didn't come, or Samuel died, or anything happened, the animals died, then the sacrifice wouldn't be made. Yahweh says he doesn't need sacrifice. What he needs is, he needs obedience. And that's what was in chapter 15. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. And rebellion is just a sin of witchcraft. And this is what we have to understand, that you might think, well, you know, there's no elder there, and, you know, the people had to get baptized. Leave that up to Yahweh. If Yahweh's calling people in an area, then Yahweh will work that out. But it's not for us to go against his judicial order and do something that we think we should do. Let's go to another story here. And in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 5, and this is when Yahweh's bringing up the Ark of the Covenant, and something happens. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 5, and David and all the house of Israel were dancing before Yahweh with all instruments of fir wood, with lyres and harps and with tambourines and with cornets and with cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nahon, and Uzzah reached out to the ark of the Elohim and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. Then the anger of Yahweh burned against Uzzah, and the Elohim struck him there for the fault. And he died there by the ark of the Elohim. And it angered David because Yahweh broke out a break against Uzzah. And one called that place the breaking of Uzzah till this day. And David feared Yahweh on that day and said, how shall the ark of Yahweh come to us? So here it is, right? They're bringing the ark of the covenant. They're dancing. They're happy. And the oxen slips. The ark is maybe going to tip over. And all this man did was push it up so that the ark wouldn't fall down and collapse. And he immediately died. He immediately died, right? So his motive was proper, but he was outside of Yahweh's judicial order. Only a Levite could touch that. And you want to know something else? They were not supposed to be taking the Ark of the Covenant on a cart with oxen. If you look back in the Torah, it says when the Ark is moved, you carry it on the pole, right? You're carrying it on a pole, and that's why there's holes on both sides for the poles to go in, so that this would never happen. So if the Levite was carrying that ark on the pole, this guy would have never died to begin with. And this is what happens sometimes. Sometimes the end result of what we think we're helping Yahweh fix is the act of something is going against his judicial order to begin with. So there might be a reason why Yahweh is allowing something to go a certain way, and he doesn't need you to get involved, especially if it's breaking his judicial order. I've had people on Sabbath day, you know, think they're doing a good deed by breaking the Sabbath, you know, by going and, you know, helping a relative that wanted something from the store or something else. It's not the way it should be. If we look at all the instances, you could see each person did not think what they were doing is wrong, but actually they thought they were helping Yahweh. King Saul felt the army was losing heart and would sweeten the face of Yahweh for the victory, and he burned the sacrifice, even though clearly only the priests is to do this within Yahweh's judicial order. It's very interesting because as soon as he was done doing it, what happens? Samuel shows up right after that. And isn't it the same in our life a lot, that we don't have the patience to wait on Yahweh? And then we go out and do something that we shouldn't have done. And as soon as we do that, boom, then Yahweh acts. then we see it. So we just have to learn, we have to learn patience. In Uzzah's case, he saw the Ark of the Covenant was going to fall, and he innocently put out his hand to stop it. But yet again, under Yahweh's judicial order, only a priest was to touch and carry the Ark, and he lost his life for it. And like I said, if the Levites were carrying it, that would have never have happened, because Yahweh set out the Levites to be the ones to do the sanctuary. Leviticus 10 and verse 10. And why? To make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the clean and the unclean, and to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. So the Levites were specifically trained by Moses, and they trained from generation to generation. And it wasn't just doing animal sacrifices. It was for also the fact of that they were training the people and teaching the Torah. We must realize that Yahweh does not think as man thinks. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are far beyond our thoughts. In the Garden of Eden, everything Yahweh created was good and perfect, including all his judicial order that he set out. This included the animal and plant kingdom, his ecosystem, and other natural occurrences, such as, the fauna, etc. He made his creation perfect. When man decided to eat of the tree that Yahweh said not to eat of, humanity took a road of its own, apart from Yahweh's ways and judicial order. And the results have only been war, sickness, disasters, and death. And that's why when people ask, how could, if there's really Elohim in heaven, how could he allow children to suffer? How could he allow? Because man is choosing this. He didn't do it. Man is going against Yahweh's judicial order. These are the consequences of man, of rebellious mankind going his own way. And then when something goes wrong, then they want to blame Yahweh, who they don't even believe in. So it's really sickening. You know, when we see this, how it happens here. But Yahweh has a judicial order in the congregation. He has an order, and it's not, like I said, it's not that the elder is a dictator. The elder is basically there almost like a judge. He's there to keep order within the congregation, is do his duties. But we see from 1 Corinthians 12... and Romans 12, we also see that every single believer in the body of Messiah also has gifts. And those gifts are to be used, but properly. They're to be used within Yahweh's judicial order. Within Yahweh's judicial order, there's complete cooperation within the body of Messiah. And each member is supposed to carry out the function that the Holy Spirit has blessed them to perform. In addition, submission within Yahweh's judicial order is always voluntary, cooperative, and reciprocal. And this is the way you know the difference. Yahweh's judicial order is always voluntary, cooperative, and reciprocal. It's not a dictatorship. And Yahweh's judicial order, the fact that someone may be over another individual in rank or authority, in no way means that the self-worth of the person is any more or less than anybody else due to the job or position that the person may be presiding over. Romans 12, in verse 4. For even as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we, the many, are one body in Messiah, and each one members of one another. But having different gifts according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or the gift of administration in the ministry, or the one teaching in their doctrine, or the one consoling in the encouragement, the one giving in sincerity, the one that rules with diligence, the one showing mercy with cheerfulness, right? And then Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourself one to another in the love of Messiah. So judicial order, like we said, is voluntary, cooperative, and reciprocal. And everybody under Yahweh's judicial order should come together as and be able to give their gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Therefore, I say to you, my brethren, when you come together, whoever among you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a language, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be for building up. So we need to be following Yahweh's judicial order. We need to be following the authority, as long as it's not contradicting Yahweh's law. We're not anarchists. So whether it's something like out there today, you know, with the COVID-19, if in your area they want you to wear a mask outside, then you should do it. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except for Yahweh. But the existing authorities have been ordained by Yahweh, so that the one resisting the evil of the civil authority has oppressed the ordinance of Yahweh, and the ones opposing will receive judgment to themselves. So again, we have to follow the civil authorities as they are now. Things like forcing you to put a vaccine or something that could be dangerous in your body, that's not something that I believe that Yahweh tells us to do under those circumstances, or breaking his law, doing something against another human being. But simple things that the civil authority does, we should be following their rules. Hebrews 13:17, the congregation the same. Listen to your spiritual leaders and submit to them, for they watch for your souls, giving an account, that they may do this with joy and not with grieving, for this would be unprofitable to you. So last scripture, Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and with proper order. So Yahweh's judicial order is in everything, it's with everything. And once you understand that, your life is just so much easier. It's so much easier to have guidelines and rules to go by and not have to worry that you don't. So points to remember, Yahweh's judicial order has been set out since creation, and we need to strive to be within that judicial order, to be in his kingdom. Each one of us in the body of Messiah has been given gifts and talents, and each one has a specific job, and we should not cover another person's position. Only true qualified ordained elders can perform baptism and the laying on of hands for the imparting of the Holy Spirit. And a woman is not to be a teacher within Yahweh's judicial order, but should be a helper and a completer to her husband and to be teaching her children at home. So I always love giving messages on judicial order because it's important, it's misunderstood, and we really need it. So until next time, Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.